Hello.
And welcome to
The Imperfect Matters.
Join us on this auditory journey where we discuss a variety of topics affecting society, culture,
the universe, ourselves, and other things that are far from perfect.
We'll keep things light, share a few laughs along the way,
while also making you pause and think. On this episode's Imperfect Matter, we discuss stigmas in the workplace.
But you know what's not the best time to meet for me?
What's that?
Working. It's just, as much as I have enjoyed working from home, it's got some issues, I would say. Oddly enough, I kind of miss going to lunch with people. I'm just like, I'm just going to quit right here and go grab something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of miss, well, here's the thing. I have to say that I have to preface working from home stuff.
Okay.
With the fact that I started my job, as you know, working from home.
Yeah.
Because I got hired in mid-March of 2020, ooh, right as the pandemic started.
And that was not an easy thing.
No. So I never got to work with any of my coworkers. I don't know what the actual office environment feels like. Mm-hmm. So all of my viewpoints that we're going to be talking about, working from home, what we prefer, pros and cons, they are
from the deep end.
Yeah. I mean, take mine with a grain of salt because I don't have the office experience from my job to like know which one I prefer.
Mm.
But I could give you my pros and cons as at the moment.
I would love to hear them.
Okay. So some pros and cons.
Okay. Pro number one.
I would say pro number one is no commute.
Ooh, that's a good pro number one.
Yes.
May I also offer you that as a possible con number one?
Like commuting?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. All right. Bear with me. I feel like, at least, especially for me, it was like a 40-minute commute to get to work.
Yeah.
Even on the train with potential crazies, it gave me a nice space to kind of decompress or laugh at the crazies or be one of the crazies because I don't want anyone sitting next to me, you know? Things like that. Now it's just wake up.
Roll out of bed.
Figure out if I want to do my hair. I don't want to. Find some sweats if I feel like wearing pants. And then go from there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Mm-hmm. I do think the pro is the commute. Like not having to commute. But I also find that as a con as well. Mm. Partly because I do like the time to the separation, right?
Mm.
So I guess it's both a pro and a con.
And that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so another pro, I guess, would be location. This is my favorite one. Mm-hmm. Location independence.
Ooh.
This is probably the best thing that's come out of remote work. Because I mean, not during a pandemic, but during remote work in normal times. You could be working from home. What does that mean? You could be in your living room working from home, or you could be on a beach in Mexico working from home.
Or in the Bahamas.
Okay,
please tell me you know that was a whole big thing for a while, right? Mm-hmm. The Bahamas was like, come be on the island and work at the beach and live your best life. It's like, tempting.
During the pandemic?
This was like early, mid-pandemic, and I'm like, I don't know if I'd want to travel right now, but it's a thing.
Right. And that's what was hard about it, too. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm working from home. I could be anywhere right now. But, oh, yeah, a global pandemic.
Yeah.
So it really kind of took away from that because I want to go places, but I have to stay at home to keep other people and myself safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a pro in normal times. It kind of sucked during the pandemic, but, you know.
Yeah.
Another pro I had was more flexibility.
Yes.
Because I could log into work 8:30 in the morning, roll out of bed, log into work, just make sure I check my emails. Mm-hmm. And if I want to go walk my dog because I don't have a meeting till like 9 or 10, mm-hmm, I'm going to go walk my dog and no one says anything.
I have an awkward question for you.
Okay.
Are you a pants on or pants off worker?
Mm.
Too personal?
Oh.
is this too weird?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so here it's a two-part answer.
Okay.
It depends.
Okay, fair.
Because in the beginning of the pandemic, and I didn't know how to navigate work from home very well because I've never done it, I just kind of like tried my best to wear professional clothes so I could feel like I'm going to work.
That's smart.
But as I got more comfortable with it,
<Uh-oh>.
I I started like just rolling out of bed in my pajamas and whatever, not even brushing my teeth until after breakfast. And I started falling off the wagon. And I was like, I can't focus off the wagon. What do people say?
Oh my God. No, it just makes it sound like it's.
I sound like I'm living in the 1700s. Oh my God. Like, I was in a wagon. I died of dysentery.
Please don't. I need you.
But anyways, like, so in the beginning, I was like getting dressed, doing all that stuff. But then as I got more comfortable, I would just wear my pajamas and stuff. And then I realized I was not focusing or whatever because the blurry lines, which I'll get into in the cons, the blurry lines, I didn't have a disconnect or a feeling like I'm going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to a therapist. My therapist was like, no, even though you're working from home, I know it's very tempting to just keep your pajama pants on, but you got to create that separation.
Oh.
So I started now every morning, I make it a point to put pants on and a shirt. Even if it's a tank top, I still get dressed in the morning. And then in the evening time when I get off work, I actually take off my shirt and put on a different shirt. So it looks like I feel like I'm actually like done with work for the day.
So correct me if I hear you differently, but I feel like I'm hearing you say that the ritual of whatever really matter to really kind of put you in the right headspaces, right?
Yes.
And you know what? I fully agree with you on this, Pro. For me personally, I love this flexibility.
Yes.
I was trying to get this flexibility before the pandemic started. I was trying to become a fully remote person. I was kind of hybrid before I went down, did the school thing while working, while doing other things all in the same time.
What hybrid? What do you mean by hybrid? Like working from the office sometimes and then working from home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the pandemic, before I went to school, which was right before the pandemic, I basically went in the office like 3 to 4 days a week and then worked from home 1 to 2 days a week.
Okay.
As you and listeners may know, I have a thing called complex PTSD. Glossing over that, a common what do they call it? Accommodation,
yeah,
is to be able to work from home. Mm. And I noticed I got my best work done there. I get to be with my boys. I get that flexibility you're talking about. Sometimes I have mornings I just can't function, and then that's okay. I will resume that work later. Or sometimes I'm just like, I need to have this break because I need to go take my boys to the vet or like go talk to a therapist, do this and the other. It's just more easy to manage all these disparate things, especially
working from home,
especially when classes came. Yeah.
Right. And I could see that the flexibility of that is beautiful. And yeah. I agree with that. Nice. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. But I'm excited to hear what your cons are because I feel like our cons are so different. Maybe?
I have two more pros though.
Okay, all right. Give me them pros.
Which is kind of funny because when I was writing this list of pros and cons, I was thinking that I would have a lot like, more cons.
Yeah.
But as I thought about it, or maybe because I've gotten comfortable working from home now that it's been over a year, now that I like it better. If you asked me like a year ago, I'd be like, I fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But I was there on the couch with you when I think I heard you say that in that deep voice. I fucking hate this.
Right? But now I have a lot more pros that I thought about it. My mindset, my perception has changed.
Yeah.
So another pro I have is I don't get this, like, you know how in office culture, people walk up to your desk, they tap you on the shoulder.
Oh, I hate that so much.
Question.
That makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Wait, are you saying the pro is that?
The pro is that you don't get distracted.
Oh, yes. So, sorry, I was just so stuck in a memory of how many times people have come to my desk, made me thinking about this complicated problem for them to ask me something they could have sent in an email.
Yes, you know, and
just why?
That's like annoying. And old offices, I don't know how it works in my office. Like I said, like I didn't start working there. You know, it might be a different culture. Maybe people don't do that as much here. But I hated that in my old job where I'm focusing on a problem. I'm really in it. And then someone comes and asks me a question, takes me away from it. And then I have to like
figure out
where I was.
Yep.
So, and like, could you have sent me an IM?
No.
No, I wanted to ruin your day.
It's part of me feels that exact same way, but I try my best to be like, okay, no, I think you just wanted personal time. You wanted to just see a person, but why did it have to be me in the middle of my work and in the middle of my flow? Like,
right.
Ugh. I agree with that pro. Yes. I so vehemently agree with that pro.
Because I get, right now, working from home, I get IM'd all day from different people, right? Asking me questions. So I put that in, what happens, I put that in a way of thinking of what happens if these were not IMs, if people were just approaching me at my desk as often as they were IMing me. I would probably punch someone in the face.
I will say that validates me because I've had that exact feeling like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Send an IM, folks. Just you kind of have to, but you know.
Yeah.
Just don't be that person.
Yeah. Or say, hey, can I, you know, walk over? Is it okay to approach? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or ask, or even if you do approach, I think a cool thing to ask is like, hey, do you have a moment right now to talk about this thing?
Or you could be very, very sly and be like, hey, you want to go get a coffee?
Yeah, at least walk me, get me a coffee or something. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't come to my desk without a gift.
You better have some sort of bribe for me.
Let it be a Starbucks mocha, please. Thanks, bye.
Yeah. Maybe have a sign on your back that says, do not approach unless you're going to buy me coffee.
Yes. I love this idea. Yes.
That should be a new trend.
Well, yes.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure
when the world out. Goes back to some sort of normal, right? and the last pro that I had on my list was environmental reasons.
Mm.
And I was reading a study somewhere, a lot of studies actually, multiple studies on the internet saying that once people started going working from home, the smog reduced, air quality improved, so much happened to the environment that were positive.
That's
very many positive research. Man, I cannot speak right now. There were a lot of positive impacts on the environment.
I could super like it's one of those things that's so obvious after you say it. I could see that there aren't as many cars on the road. The building itself is saving on electricity.
Mm-hmm. Gasoline.
Oh my God, gasoline.
Also, gasoline was that one of the reasons that gasoline was so cheap during the beginning of the pandemic? I paid like $2 something for gas, and that was unheard of.
See, I would have thought it would have spiked because everyone and their moms like the toilet paper thing, right? Like, I would have thought everyone would be stocking up piles and piles and piles of these things.
Well, people are doing that now. There's like people putting gas in bags and stuff.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, there's a question for that's a topic for a different time.
Oh my God.
But those
okay.
are my pros. Did you have any pros to add to that before we move to the cons?
My pros are really just I'm getting what I want in a weird way. I feel guilty saying it because I know a lot of people out there are having a very difficult time, but I feel like I've been thriving a bit. I get my space. I get to be with my boys. I get to work in the ways that make sense for me because working is not a one-size-fits-all solution.
I agree 100%.
And so many companies think it is.
Yes. For some reason, society thinks that we all 9-to-5ers, we all could fit to that schedule. We're just butts on seats. Like, I don't know. But yeah.
I will give one kind of pro I just kind of loosely thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit more empathy because we're all going through something.
There's more you're saying that, like there's like more understanding of depression or anxiety.
Well, not just depression and anxiety. I will say like so many managers have kids. So many managers where I work have kids. With kids, you're interrupted. You gotta help them with this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of get like, maybe I don't need to check in with every member of every team at every minute of every hour of every day.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. I've gotten to miss my one-on-one, which would have been scheduled the next day. Now it's just next week. A lot easier on me.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. They're seeing that, hey, maybe I can trust people.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a life outside of work. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Another unpopular thing. As we are moving on to the cons, I believe. Mm-hmm.
You don't have any cons?
I don't think I do.
Well, maybe you might get some inspiration from my cons.
Yes, please.
Okay. That's crazy. I mean, everybody has to have some sort of con, but look. But maybe not.
Yes. Yeah, maybe it'll spark something.
Okay. So I'll read off my cons. So
okay.
My biggest one especially during the beginning times of the pandemic when all of this started, was the lines blurring between work and home.
Such all right, as, you got like, me. Not,
right, yeah. Because I didn't feel any – I didn't know – a lot of people have not worked from home before, right? I was one of those. So HR saying, here's a laptop, here's Zoom or Teams or whatever app you use. We download it to your computer. Here, figure it out. Figure out how to communicate with people, how to manage your workday when you've never done it. They didn't send me home with an instruction manual, right? So in the beginning, I was really having a hard time disconnecting. I was feeling like I was always on, and I never had any boundaries between when I'm starting work, when I'm leaving work, and when the day is over. I have now. Mm. I've learned to set boundaries. I had to work with a therapist for a very long time.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest con, is like blurry lines.
I will say, because I was lucky enough to kind of get a little bit of practice in the working from home, that was a con I was feeling early on, that those 1 or 2 days I would work from home before the world did its thing. That I felt the same thing. Like, yeah. I need to be on all the time. If my manager thinks that, like, I'm slacking, then I won't be able to work from home anymore. And I really need this, and I need to be helped, and I'm not going to be able to do this. And oh my God. Yeah, that was my thought process. I was like having mini meltdowns.
Yeah. Because
no one should have that.
Nobody should have that. I was having a big problem with that too. Since I had a lack of, you know, I guess, visibility from my manager, my direct manager. I was thinking that, am I doing a good job? You know, no one's checking in on me. So how do they know I'm not just fucking off, right? I mean, full disclosure here, for the first 3 months where there was not much going on, I totally logged in and played Animal Crossing for quite a bit of time.
I think everyone did something like that.
I mean,
like,
Animal Crossing also did come out in the beginning of the pandemic. So I blame Nintendo.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they knew it.
They know their audience.
I was like, I'm starting a new job, but Animal Crossing, though.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. I like that. But so how does my manager not, you know, see if I'm doing a good job, if I'm taking care of business or if,
yeah,
all that. So that was a big con. It's like, you don't have visibility. You don't have the
collaboration. Trust. Yeah.
Right. I think that was a big con too, even though the pro was like nobody walking up to your desk and distracting you and stuff like that. The con side of that is that you don't have anyone coming up to you and distracting you, pulling you away from your work and you know, collaborating with you, somebody to bounce ideas back and forth between.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. My perspective is a little bit skewed because I'm a one-man team. I do literally the work of 5 people by myself.
That should be illegal.
It should, but it is what it is.
Hold on. That's such an American saying.
It is what it is.
Because we're so depressed all the time that we're like, the only way to deal with it, we just say, it is what it is.
I believe that is called learned helplessness.
Oh my God.
It's a real thing. We should talk about it in another episode.
Another episode, maybe.
Look forward to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was definitely... I forgot what I was saying.
You're doing a warp of 5 people.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I was doing the work of 5 people. It's not helpful for someone who's not doing the work that I'm doing to be like, let's collaborate on this thing that you're going to do all the work for. So that's my, like, you're not, like, they're not even contributing, like, physical code. They just want to tell me, like, to me, it feels like you just want to tell me what to do. So to not have that in my life is great.
That makes sense. And also, I'm also realizing that these cons are very, some of these cons are very specific to the job type that you have. Like my job as like a project manager person is I have to collaborate with people, right? I have to talk to people, bounce ideas off of others. While yours is more like...
Mine's more engineering and architecture. So it's like very much, how do I need the time and space to figure out how to do this the best way possible.
Right. So you need more of that quiet time, not like more collaboration time, where I need more, a little bit more collaboration time, bouncing ideas off of people. Because sometimes I get stuck on something, not sure how to approach a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to be able to talk to one of my coworkers about X, Y, Z.
But it's so hard to talk. Like, as easy as it would be to just walk up to somebody, I feel like it's so hard to talk to people now. I don't know if you feel that at all.
Yeah.
Like, you just lose so much in IMs and whatever.
In the chats?
In the chats, in whatever meetings, and all the whatever various apps we have to use now. Like, there's just so much lost.
So, another con, mm-hmm. you know, that now that you bring that up, another con is Zoom fatigue. Which I should actually probably read you the real definition.
Oh, please. I'm all ears.
Because it's really interesting. And I think a lot of us are experiencing it, but they don't have an actual word for it. Or if they do have a word for it, they don't have an actual definition for it. So they mm-hmm. don't know what it means. But Psychiatric Times defines Zoom fatigue as the tiredness, worry, or burnout associated with overusing virtual platforms. Have you felt that lately?
No, yes.
So much, yes.
Are you kidding
me? Big con right there. Big con.
Oh my God. I mean, I love my life. I love my online life. I love the people in my life. But sometimes I just gotta turn off Discord.
Yeah.
And just not.
Or social media.
Social media. And like when I was doing classes and working all the time, constantly like being on camera, probably being a bit vain, worried about what I'm looking like not sure where I'm supposed to be focusing and like all these other things. Like, should I read ahead on this and like come up with all these good questions? Like having a million things to do, but feeling like I'm missing out maybe on the core part of the experience. I wouldn't have felt this way in a physical class.
Yeah. You're missing a lot. The thing about virtual communication, especially on camera, and meetings and whatnot, you're missing out on a lot of the body language cues, right? Mm. When me and you are talking, we could use our hands. We could see if our feet are pointed towards each other.
I'm constantly doing stuff in the air. Yeah.
Right. If we're like leaning towards each other to see that we're engaged in the conversation. When you're in camera with someone, there's no way to tell these mm-hmm. cues. So it's very hard to read a room.
And I will say it is a special skill to look directly into your camera to make other people feel like you're looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I had to learn. It's hard.
Yeah. It's very hard. I keep looking directly at their face on the screen,
yep.
but not at the camera. So it probably looks like
looks like you're looking down.
It looks like I'm looking down. And I still do that.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, when I started my job in the beginning, I would constantly have my camera on, and everybody else would too, because I think we all want to feel like we were present,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think we all started feeling the Zoom fatigue at the same time, because at a certain point, I would say about 6 months in, everybody started joining meetings. Half the people were like, no cameras on.
Yeah.
And I started turning my cameras off for like meetings I'm not hosting or big important meetings.
I'd yep.
camera off because I'm so tired of looking at my face.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be vain, but it's actually
sometimes you just don't want to like do your hair and you just want to, that has to be okay, right?
Right. Like, you don't want to like put makeup on or whatever. I don't wear makeup, but you don't want to like put your face on.
Yeah.
For the camera.
Especially for the long meeting. You're not just putting your face on. You have to like keep this like, I'm not looking at my phone right now face going on, or like I'm not working on something else. Before the pandemic, I was constantly dialing into meetings, and that let me get so many more things done. I don't know if you had this experience at all of like sitting in a room in a meeting that has little to do with you, and then you're just like, I don't know what to do with my hands. you know what I mean? Like, I really wish I could look at my phone right now, or I'm really looking at my phone right now, or I'm doing this thing where I'm twisting in my chair. My manager commented on that once. It like really freaked him out. I was like, I didn't even notice.
Virtually?
No, in person. Like that movement just kind of helps me like
think.
It just helps me think.
It's proven that moving around helps you think better too.
That is true.
Another positive thing of having the camera off, and I have a standing desk now.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just in a meeting dialed in without video, I'll pace around my room so I feel like I could concentrate on what people were saying better as I'm walking around my little office.
That's brilliant.
So I've been doing that lately. But if I'm on camera pacing around, people are going to be like, is she on drugs?
Can I tell you the reason why that's brilliant?
Why?
Because that physiological act of moving, of pacing or whatever, both acts as both a way to amp your creativity, amp your central nervous system, right. get things firing and going. But it also has this element of like emotional decompressing. It's all these little components happening at once. And that you can't have in an office. I can't tell you how many times I've been dancing and singing at my desk. And that very act has helped me blaze through code.
Dude, yes. You know, I have here at home, I'll have my YouTube tab open. I'll have lo-fi beats on.
Oh, beautiful.
It helps me think.
Yeah.
And I put it on. Not super loud, but loud enough where if I was in an office, people would be like, turn that down or wear headphones. I don't always want to wear headphones.
I don't want to wear headphones. Also, if I can hear your meeting like two desks over, you're the one too loud. Oh. And I have to drown you out.
You know, that is so – I didn't think about that. That's another – I guess that would be a – I know we're on Zoom fatigue, but that if we're going back to cons, that would be a big con. My office, when I looked at it when I went for my interview before I got hired they have an open format, so no cubicles or anything like that. Everybody sits next to each other.
Yeah.
You would be able to hear the person next to you having their meeting.
Yep.
I'm very easily distractible. That would
drive you crazy.
That would drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a quick recall back to the cons. I would like to add that.
Add that to the cons list. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy. Jimmy's our imaginary friend because we can't afford anything.
Oh. Thanks. But you can support us on our Patreon. We love you and thank you for listening. No, I don't think... Okay, so it's not just Zoom fatigue, I feel like, is this modern incarnation of what we're talking about. Just fatigue in general. All the ways that work has just been fucking with us.
Yes.
And I'm sure that Zoom has other ways that it's still fucking with us.
It is. It is, like the whole looking at yourself thing or the, yeah, I don't have anything for that, actually. But Zoom is fucking with us. Teams, Zoom, any sort of virtual communication is just burning us out.
It's just burning us out. And that is a huge, huge condition that is happening. Did you know in 2020, the World Health Organization recognized burnout as an actual condition?
Nope.
Yeah.
Like you mean like an actual medical condition?
Like an actual medical condition. Like being burnt out is a medical condition.
It should always have been a medical condition.
It's one of those things that nobody really believed
in. Like
a stigma or one of those things that we don't really talk about, right?
Burnout's a big problem.
It is a big problem.
Zoom fatigue could lead to burnout, but other things lead to burnout as well.
It's just that like cherry on top. At least for me, it's become that cherry on top. So for you, my dear, beloved, beautiful audience, I feel like I need to just define burnout so you understand what we're talking about. So there's an amazing therapist called Dr. Tracy Marks, who's been so kind to tell us the three big components of what burnout is. It is this overwhelming feeling of exhaustion, and that can be due to work, to your responsibilities outside of work. It can be due to unclear expectations. The second component is cynicism. That could be, I'm not going anywhere, cynicism of the job itself, of your management chain, of the world. And lastly, this awful thing we call inefficacy.
Can you define inefficacy? Because we're Americans and we don't have a proper education system.
Oh, okay. So inefficacy really just kind of, how do I put this?
Because I also don't know what inefficacy completely means. I know it's like feeling inadequate.
It's pretty close to feeling inadequate. Like you should be able to feel some satisfaction from what you do. Oh. That's your efficacy. Like you've feeling capable, you feeling like what you do matters. So, you know, inefficacy is the terrible opposite of nothing I do matters. I'm not going anywhere. I'm never going to get a promotion.
Holy
shit. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And these are just the primary feelings to burnout.
I felt like I was burnt out very early on then because I had exhaustion, cynicism, and inefficacy, especially in the first episode where we talked about, you know, imposter syndrome. That kind of played into that.
I would like to pose this second definition and ask you, does this fit how you felt?
Okay.
So the amazing Christina Maslach, a wonderful PhD psychiatrist.
I like how you say amazing, and these people are probably like the worst.
They are.
I'm just kidding. They're probably great.
They're not. And I need to make sure that their names get out there because they're amazing women in the field.
Yes.
And not just that, women of color in the field.
Oh, or
at least Tracy Marks is. So Christina Malick says that it is the erosion of engagement in one's job. And at least for me, that's how I feel. But how do you feel?
The erosion of engagement with one job. So feeling like you're not interested in doing your work anymore, right?
Not quite. It's just, think of them as puzzle pieces that have just, they could get warped over time or they could have never fit in that first place. That something about you, your interests, your character, your temperament or whatever doesn't fit with the job, what it requires, what you need to do every day, all these things. Like, there's nothing bad about either one of these things. It's just the pieces don't fit. And sometimes that's how I feel. Sometimes I think it's weird that I'm saying this because I'm on a podcast and I've been a voice actor, but my job is constantly harping on my communication skills.
How so?
Okay. Because when I'm in the zone, when it comes to coding, I need my bubble. I don't need all these people poking at it, getting these holes, because then everything kind of just leaks out and leaks away. Mm. And I just want to go and get the job done, right? Like, I want to put the best thing I can forward. And so many jobs out there care about the process more than they care about people.
Like the red tape.
Yes.
Oh, I hate that.
Why do we have meetings about meetings?
Oh, I hate that.
Why is that a thing?
That's another thing that plays into like the burnout, right?
Yes.
This whole working from home thing. In the beginning, at least, there have been so many meetings. People talking about the doubling the meetings. Also, there was research saying that people on average working from home now are logging 2+ hours more per day.
I believe it. Yep.
Because I think they want to show that they're still available.
Yep.
Or maybe they're making up for the lack of commute time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just don't want to get fired. You want people to know that you're there.
Yeah. Because there's like lack of visibility on you, right? So
yes.
People are working 2+ hours longer a day on average. They're working through being sick.
Yeah.
Because, probably the excuse of like, well, I'm home. I guess I don't have to like, you know, go home. Because I'm sick, so I guess I could just work through my sickness. And I think it's getting better as people are getting more used to it. But it's still a pretty big problem. Like, people still need to learn how to set boundaries working from home or just in general at work, because it'll prevent the burnout.
Yes. Learning how you work and making strides towards that is what we should all do.
Yes.
I say, for me and my personal experience, me being able to just work as long as I need to get a certain thing done because I find it intellectually interesting is a great thing. To take the time I need, like in the morning, in the afternoon, to be like, for this hour, I'm going to do this, is a great thing.
Yes.
And I feel like everyone should have the right to have these things. So with that, America, we got a big ass problem. 69% of people today are experiencing burnout. So what is it in our culture that is really making this a problem?
What is it? What do you think makes America such a burnout culture?
I think it's because we don't take care of ourselves. Like, nobody takes a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you told me that, and I was like, yeah, I don't take a vacation. It gets closer to the end of the year. I'm like, I'll just roll over my days.
Right, and a lot of people do that. And I think it's because we have a big culture of work hard to get ahead. or work longer hours to get ahead, even though that's the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a research I pulled off from online. It says from the Center of Economic and Policy Research, 2007 study called No Vacation Nations.
That's a great, that says it all to me.
Right? It's like, I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. The research found that America is the only advanced economy that does not mandate paid vacation.
Wait.
Yes.
Huh?
Which means, and they say 1 in 4 don't get paid time off from work.
That's too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, I'm educated here in America, so that's like 30%, right?
I'm just kidding.
I know it's 25%.
You scared me. I was genuinely worried for your well-being.
I was just making a joke about America.
It was a good joke, but you scared me.
It's like 30%.
Oh my God. I mean, you're technically not wrong, but you're very wrong at the same time. It's, oh, America, we should do better.
Yes. So I think we have a big, big burnout culture here in America.
And I think a lot of that.
No, go ahead.
Okay. And I think a lot of that is just, like, as you were saying, we don't take vacations, but we also kind of promote this weird overworking thing. But we're, at least we're not as bad as Turkey.
Oh, yeah. Turkey's pretty bad.
Turkey's really bad. Like, over 60% of their population is basically constantly doing overtime. I'm not sure to what extent, but I know even in America, in some industries, like the gaming industry, you're working like 12-hour days, almost 7 days a week.
Fuck that.
That's insane.
That should be illegal.
It should, but that's the thing.
We don't have any laws against overtime?
No. As far as I'm aware of, or at least in certain states, no.
I didn't do any research on this part, but damn, that's if that's true, that sucks.
Hey, beautiful listeners, if you know more about this topic, please, please email us. Check us at the end of the episode for that beautiful email.
For that beautiful email.
Beautiful, beautiful email. Mm.
Oh my God.
But that's insane to me. Like, we need to have limits on how long people can work, right?
Right. And another extreme example of that, like Japan.
Uh-oh.
So Japan, it's not uncommon over there for workers to spend like 100 plus hours a month on overtime. And they even have a word for over that means overworked death, and the word is karoshi.
Karoshi.
Oh my God.
No. But it's so hard for me to put any kind of value on that because it's a different culture entirely.
Like, right.
Work is praised, and even a simple thing that would get us fired here, taking a nap at your desk.
In Japan,
it's called inemuri. It's seen as a sense of, oh my God, you're so dedicated and you work so hard under certain circumstances, of course, that, oh man, they've done so much that they are sleeping at their desk so that they're well rested and ready to like keep on going and all this and that.
So they could work 800 more hours.
That's insane.
That is insane. So at least, even though we have pretty bad work culture and we could do a lot better, at least we're not as bad as like Turkey or Japan.
But we're not as good as France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does France have that we don't have?
Oh my God. Okay. France has two baguettes. Of my favorite. Oh my God. Oh,
croissants.
Good baguette.
They have croissants.
They do, and I really, next time, let's go get some.
Croissant.
Yeah. There's a little French bakery we can go to.
So what does France have besides croissants?
Besides 35-hour work weeks?
Damn. That's nice.
How fucking brilliant is that? Ooh, ooh, ooh. And my absolute favorite thing, because I get texts from people that I work with, like on my personal phone, is that they have a law that says you do not need to answer texts or emails about work after work hours.
Shit, I already follow that law.
I think that's a brilliant law.
I mean, I know that we don't have that law. We should.
We should.
I do my very best to disconnect after work. Like, unless if the fucking world is burning down, sure, text me. Mm-hmm. But if it's something that could be answered tomorrow, I'm not going to fucking text you back. I'm going to pretend, oh, I didn't see it till today. Sorry.
Yeah, but to just have that expectation already set that it's after hours. I'll get to it when I can. Mm-hmm. I have a different role. I basically run and make my entire system. If something happens, yeah, I should probably be notified. But it's obnoxious because you're already in this mode where you're relaxing, you're in another headspace, that it fucks with my mental health.
It contributes to the burnout.
It really does. Yes. I can't tell you how many vacations that have been ruined by update texts or like, there's this problem when you get back. I don't need that. Then that's all I'm going to be thinking about.
You know, that contributes another thing to the American work culture is, mm-hmm. You know how many, it drives me crazy. Do you know how many emails I see at my company alone where people are going on PTO, but their literal fucking email says, I will be gone between this time and this time. You can reach me on my cell anytime. Like, no, you're on PTO.
Go enjoy your life. Otherwise, what's the point?
Disconnect. There's such an unspoken expectation of you having to work even on your vacation here.
That's insane.
Ridiculous. Like, other countries don't have that. Yes. Like you said, in France, like, no messages after work. That's genius. Another country I think that does it right is Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome example right there. Mm-hmm. They have, like, an official 37-hour work week.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
They have, like, 5 weeks paid vacation per year, and they're encouraged to take it. There's no stigma about, like, oh, you're taking on vacation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I also want to bring up one country that's doing better because that means that we can do better. Korea. Korea used to have a maximum work week of 68 hours, and they passed a law that basically put it down to close to 50.
68 hours a week?
Yep. This is the maximum upper bound. So you know people are hitting it, and some people are probably going over it.
Right.
But the fact that they said, maybe this is not the best for us, let's cut it back, means that we can do it too.
We could. I mean, just like over 100 years ago, the standard work week was like, what, 17 hours a day, days a week.
No.
And then, of course, Henry Ford revolutionized our workday, mm-hmm. by doing 8-hour workdays. And then we kind of followed, we eventually like adopted that.
Adopted that even in the school system,
Yes, in school system. So we have like the 8-hour workday, blah, blah, blah. But so much research shows we do not need to be working on our desks for 8 hours a day to be productive. It actually is counterproductive to be working for that long. Most employees do much better doing 6 hours or even less.
Oh, God. Give me my 4-10s, honestly. Give me my 3-day weekends. That's my ideal.
Or like half day Fridays. You know?
Oh, my God.
We spend so much of our time at work, and then they're like wondering why we're burnt out.
Because you've literally sucked the life out of us because what's the saying? We need to live to work. We work to live. It's kind of true in both sentences, right? Like,
yes,
our healthcare is tied up and our jobs, all these things that are supposed to keep us happy and healthy and secure fail us at every turn. And that's not okay.
Yes. And I think, I know this sounds shitty, but honestly, some of the best stuff happens from a shitty situation.
Yeah.
So I think the pandemic, in a way, showed companies and showed America,
mm-hmm.
that, hey, we're working from home. And even though it was so stigmatized before to work from home,
mm-hmm.
people are seeing the studies, and on paper, it shows that people are just as productive working from home as they were, mm-hmm. just being seat warmers at an office.
Yes.
And also, you don't need to be staring at your screen for full 8 hours in order to be just as productive.
That is absolutely true. To me, what I'm really getting from that is just, we need to put our well-being to the forefront above even meetings, right?
Right.
This is going to be weird to say, and I know people have complicated feelings about all kinds of things, but the United Arab Emirates has dedicated prayer times that are above even meetings. Feeding that kind of spirituality of a person helps. That meditation that I know so many people do before work starts, after it's over, helps.
Yes.
Talking to people helps. Why don't we just keep promoting these amazing things?
Yes.
So that we can be the best people we can be.
And I agree with that. That's why I was saying that I don't think we're going to go back to the normal we were before.
Oh, God, no.
I think we're going to go to whatever the new normal looks like. But I hope what that new normal looks like is less time at the office.
Mm-hmm.
I like the option. Don't get me wrong. I do want to eventually, I think, go back and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like the option to go back, not be told I have to be here at whatever time, right? So I think the new normal will look like optional office time, a hybrid working schedule, maybe less hours throughout the day, and more mental health visibility.
I want all those things. And if you don't mind me summing it up just slightly, just in my words, we'll live in a world with more empathy.
I agree.
I think that is what we are all learning, that we need to be more empathetic to our neighbors, to the people, quote, above us, quote, the people below us, and to the whole world.
That was touching.
Thank you.
I felt touched.
In a good way.
Oh, yeah. If you liked this episode, share it with your community. You can also help us grow by subscribing and leaving a review wherever podcasts are available.
And if you would like to continue this conversation about this imperfect matter, check us out at imperfectcast on Twitter.
Stay imperfect.
And remember, you matter.
Until next time,
don't burn out.